This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison, and Noel Lim. Now, it appears that contract medical officers have had enough of the healthcare system. Malaysia Kini recently reported that a group of them will proceed with a planned strike at the end of July unless the government resolves long-standing issues. Now, in a statement, the health ministry acknowledged that there are issues to be ironed out, and they're working with the Malaysian Medical Association, Public Service Department, and the Finance Ministry. These issues include things like permanent placements.
Yeah, so, and also extension of contracts, some more transparency in who gets the contracts, and a longer term contract to facilitate the studies of these medical officers, as well as I think there are issues about salary disparities between contract and permanent medical officers.
As it is, over 23,000 contract medical officers have been recruited since 2016, and only 789 have been absorbed as permanent staff. Why is there a stark difference in how contract and permanent healthcare officers are treated in the first place? This is something we're going to dive into right now.
Indeed we are, and we're going to be doing this with Dr. Ong Siu Ching, Executive Co-Chair at Malaysian Medics International. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Doctor. Now, can you talk to us about the state of contract medical officers and the frustrations that they're facing at the moment?
Okay, good morning. Thank you for having me on the show. Truly a pleasure. Yes, currently the first batch of contract medical officers, you'll see their contracts ending in December 2021. So even though our health minister has talked about a one-year contract extension back in May, but there hasn't been any official statement released by MOH as of now. There's a lot of uncertainty going around, and it mainly boils down to contract doctors experiencing psychological insecurity. These are like the inability to specialize with the contract position, the lack of clarity in the selection criteria from contract to permanent, as you have rightly put, and the fact that we eventually end up with no jobs.
So what is the cause of this problem? Is it a funding problem, or are there too many medical graduates?
Okay, so in the past, you know, when we are talking about too many medical graduates. Yes, in the past, there was a sudden influx of medical graduates, and that has made the hospitals available then insufficient to take in these medical graduates. But currently, I would say it would be the lack of funding, and lack of funding is always a universal problem, you know. But MMI believes that with proper planning and long-term plans in place, we can actually allocate these resources efficiently.
Now, the health ministry says it will carry out various efforts to address the issues faced by this group. Uh-huh. And, you know, these are long-standing issues, as we've noted. Do you think efforts like increased salaries and placements will be carried out and will have an impact if they are?
Okay. Should it be carried out? Definitely, yes. But will it be carried out? Well, it really depends. So we at MMI think that, you know, commitment from the government is needed. And we also need someone with the political willpower and strength to make that happen. Salary schemes should definitely be planned out better for our contract doctors. And more placements for permanent positions should definitely be allocated. But nevertheless, these are just mere consolations compared to the main issue that we are facing here. The uncertainty in the future of our jobs and whether we should be, we would still be employed by the end of our contracts, it still exists.
So perhaps you could just shed some light on this for us in terms of the career options for contract medical workers. If they're not given permanent jobs, what kind of options are available to them?
All right. So in terms of like the career options, our contract medical officers have been looking into all the career options available to them as well because of this uncertainty that they are facing. But generally, they would need to venture out of the government service if their contracts expire into the private industry, open up their own clinics, or go for non-clinical careers. So this may include like the pharmaceutical industry. Many are also planning to actually take up a service medical officer position in university hospitals. But honestly, these positions are limited. So which brings us back to the issue at hand and the need for MOH to actually provide us a long-term plan in place for these medical officers. You know, a lot of people has been saying, we studied many years to serve the people, so it's really frustrating when we can't get a chance to serve in public hospitals and specialize as well.
So,
What about going overseas? Are many of your colleagues looking to move to Singapore, Hong Kong, or maybe even the Middle East?
Okay, so to be very honest, a lot of people now, they are just trying to struggle and survive. They just want a job on their plate, you know, and a salary to take care of their family and even themselves. So yes, a lot of them are looking into going overseas if the contract issue is not sorted out. However, we believe actually at MMI that if this contract issue is sorted out and doctors are actually provided a long-term plan and these contracts are being addressed well, these doctors will actually stay back and they are very happy to serve the country and the nation.
So going back to what we mentioned a little while ago, there are over 23,000 contract medical officers that have been recruited since 2016. Maybe you could enlighten us as to why we rely on that many officers on a contract basis and not on a permanent basis.
Yeah, this is a question on, you know, how much healthcare workforce we need versus how much resources we have in the country. Hmm. So the healthcare workforce is expanding, you know, with the growing healthcare demands of the country, and our population is aging as well. The problem is that MOH has insufficient vacant positions for our permanent staff. But why is that so? For that, we got to ask the ministry. But this just means that our futures are really uncertain, and therefore, all of us actually seek answers from the government.
So why do you think, where do you think is the disconnect actually when consulting with the health ministry on what appears to be the practicing of double standards when it comes to permanent and contract healthcare staff?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say it all comes down to three things. Number one, it will be the poor planning by the ministries involved when they came up with the contract system, you know, to combat the ongoing issues at that time. And number two, poor communication between these ministries, because one ministry just refers to another ministry when asked about the current issue, and this cycle just goes on and on. It's a vicious cycle. And of course, number three, poor resource allocation, which is obviously our healthcare budget. I think Malaysia could definitely see a bigger budget.
Well, on a related note, the health ministry said it will give healthcare workers unrecorded leave to avoid symptoms of burnout. Is this enough? And what more can be done?
Yeah, so we think, you know, this is a great initiative by MOH to support their healthcare workers, especially in the midst of the pandemic. So MMI fully supports this initiative. However, this will not solve the current deeply rooted issue that we are all talking about, which is the lack of job security and the lack of human resources, which has resulted in, you know, the contract system. So the workload is definitely a contributor, but it's not the main problem. So we really urge MOH to address the psychological insecurity that our contract doctors are actually facing as of now.
And Doctor, I mean, how do you think this is going to affect the current focus of a lot of efforts, the vaccine program rollout, if any, if at all?
Yeah, so, you know, the vaccination program is very much dependent on like a lot of doctors and nurses, and most of them are contract doctors who have been allocated to administer them at like the PPVs, the clinics and the hospitals as well. So if they were to be removed from the system, I think that's a great loss to the nation, and this will potentially slow down the vaccination progress. From what I've observed, they've been giving their best services everywhere, you know, these contract doctors, despite the dreary situation, and I believe they'll continue to do that.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. That was Dr. Ong Siu Ching, Executive Co-Chair at Malaysian Medics International, giving us some insight into the issue of contract medical officers and the problems that they're facing, which have come, of course, even more into the spotlight because of the fact that we need them so very much at this time.
See, while I feel for them, at the same time, I can also understand the need to be prudent with the number of fully employed doctors you have in government service, right? Because you can go into the private sector later on, you can open your own clinic. There are other ways to go about it, although it may not be what was the norm before this, right? Unfortunately, fiscal headroom is a real thing. The era of contract workers is also not just a medical officer situation. Mm. A lot of different industries are utilizing it because of its flexibility for businesses on their part, right? Because at the end of the day, if you're fully employed, in Malaysia, there is a higher burden in terms of employers, in terms of when you want to let go an employee. So, which may lead to more pushing towards the contract method.
Yeah, so I'm looking at it from also a patient's point of view. In a public hospital's long queues, patients have to wait for a very long time. I'm not sure what exactly is the problem. Does this suggest that maybe there's a shortage of medical staff or is our processes so inefficient? So we're not sure why. If it's a question of shortage of medical staff, then the Ministry of Health needs to just allocate more budget, right, for this. And, you know, this problem is going to come back and bite us one day.
Yeah.
There are two things that any emerging economy really needs to invest in is education and healthcare. And we don't get this right, we're going to be in really deep trouble.
And healthcare has been a big pillar, right? It's one of those key pillars for any economy, especially now that we're facing this. But are we doing enough as the industry grows? Are we funding health, our public healthcare system enough? Do we need to take on more doctors? And if so, what do we do with the surplus amount of doctors that we have, right? Because they did take a long time to study what they did.
Yes, and this is definitely a long-standing issue and one that hopefully we do see some resolution towards. It's good that we are seeing more speaking up about this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.